The Bush administration has stated that regime change is its objective in Iraq. But for Iraqi exiles, and certainly the 23 million people who live in Iraq, regime change would be only the start of a process with long-term consequences for Iraq and the Arab world. Kanan Makia is a writer and professor, an Iraqi exile whose best-selling book about Saddam Hussein, Republic of Fear, was published under a pseudonym in 1989. He is now coordinating the State Department's Future of Iraq initiative and presented last week a detailed paper on what the future of Iraq might be, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show, Professor Makia.
Thank you, Jackie.
You write that Iraq should be modeled on the principles of federation, a confederation of states decentralizing the power away from Baghdad. How would this work?
Well, firstly, I should say it's the stated position of virtually all groups in the Iraqi opposition. It goes back to 1992. And it is viewed by many Iraqis as the only way to hold the country together in a way that contrasts completely with the highly centralized, extremely autocratic system of Saddam Hussein. So it's a major, major revolution because it's a completely new concept in Arab politics. We have no federal experiences at all. And it breaks new ground. It truly breaks the mold of Arab politics.
Kanan Makia, you said that you were comforted by Condoleezza Rice's views in London expressing support for a post-war Iraq, but that you don't think, or you aren't sure, if the United States government is completely devoted to the commitment of resources it would require after a war in Iraq. Without that, how confident are you of such a plan working?
It's absolutely crucial for federalism, for the kind of democracy that I lay out in that paper you mentioned, and for very many fundamental changes in the nature of the Iraqi state that are under discussion, that the United States have a nation-building approach to the Iraqi problem post-Saddam.
Can you really engineer a democracy following a war? There has been no tradition of democracy in Iraq, nor for that matter in other Arab states. There would be presumably a good number, if not a massive number, of Iraqi casualties. You're talking about an American-led post-war effort. Why would the Americans be viewed as allies rather than enemies?
Well, one should ask oneself, why were the Americans viewed as allies back in 1991, when the whole population rose up and asked the very people who had been bombing them to help them finish the job? And, of course, back then, the allies did not do that. And that, of course, has left a very bitter legacy. But this time, it does seem that the Bush administration is going to follow through.
What would, in your view, undermine this? I mean, what are the obstacles to achieving this?
Main obstacle is that there is an 11th hour coup, which we know many parties in the United States government would like to see, which suddenly provided an easy way out. Let's go with the military dictator. Let's support the regime. We can get the inspections. We can get the weapons eliminated and so on, and not go for the big apple, if I might call it that, of nation building in Iraq. That is one of the major, major fears.
Do you think that the Bush administration is committed to a democratic process in Iraq or anyone but Saddam? In other words, another strong man more loyal to the U.S. might be just as good as trying to create a new nation, a democratic nation in Iraq.
Many very senior figures in the administration are supporting a democratic Iraq. The vice president, the Department of Defense, and Condoleezza Rice, as you mentioned yourself. They are outspoken. They've said this repeatedly and so on. But there clearly still is a debate going on. And I don't know what the position of the president himself is on this. I mean, I have a general sense of democracy and so on. But it's not yet become U.S. policy. We're all part of a discussion that's going on, and I think it's very urgent to decide that question soon. It would have a big shape on the outcome of the war. Let me give you one very concrete example. When the population as a whole knows, the Iraqi population I'm talking about, that the war that is about to take place is seen in relation to a much better future that they can enjoy, they all have brothers, uncles, cousins, etc., inside the armed forces. They will be putting pressure on those men not to pull the trigger, to defect, and so on.
Do you think there's been too much emphasis on regime change and weapons of mass destruction and not enough, say, on human rights abuses in Iraq?
Absolutely. The debate has been a very selfish one, Jackie, between those who are concerned with weapons of mass destruction on the one hand, and those who are worrying about American hegemony in the world and unilateral action. I'm not saying these are not two very important issues, but left out of the whole debate are the very people who have suffered the most from this regime, and who, by the way, incidentally, overwhelmingly want this war.
Kanaan Makiya, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Kanaan Makiya is an author and also the coordinator of the State Department's Future of Iraq initiative.